As you know, we've been going through the Gospel of Luke, seeing this account that was written by Luke to Theophilus, who he wanted to persuade or help him to reinforce his faith in what had been accomplished through the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. Luke had spoken to eyewitnesses. He'd compiled evidence. Luke was a medical doctor and also a historian. And he recorded this account. And this is where we're up to in the story. We're up to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to have two readings this morning. Firstly, we're going to read verse 1 through to verse 7. And then we're going to sing a carol. And then we'll have the rest of the reading. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. As we continue this amazing account of that first Christmas, so this is Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David has been born to you a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. May God bless to us the public reading of his word. Well, Christmas, and I'm sure this morning for many people, especially the youngsters, will have been much about opening presents. And I'm sure if we went round, we'd be able to hear some amazing things that people have received, maybe new phones, maybe cameras, maybe a television, a games console, maybe a new scarf, maybe a new shirt. Many, many different things. But be very clear this morning that everyone is a worshipper. Everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. You might think I'm not particularly religious, but everyone is a worshipper. So everyone has something in their life which has supreme value to them. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you are the most seasoned Christian amongst us, which is a polite way of saying old, or if you are someone who is not a believer, there is a very real danger that at Christmas time, gifts can steal the affections of our hearts. So we need to be on our guard. One Bible commentator speaking using the terminology of idolatry, which is things being more important to us than God, says this: "Make and trust a blind idol and you become blind. Apply that principle to the modern world and think of the idols of our own day. What we make and what we trust, what are those things? Toys, technology. And so our hearts and our affections are formed by these things. They compress the void in our heart into shapes like toys. The result is that we are easily moved and excited by things, Computers, cars, appliances, entertainment, media. They seem to fit the shapes in our hearts. They feel good in the tiny spaces they have made. But in this readiness to receive pleasure from things, we are ill-shaped for Christ. He seems so unreal, so unattractive, and the eyes of our hearts grow dull. We need to be aware, be on our guard this morning. We need to be aware. My task this morning is really straightforward, but yet it is impossible without God. This morning I want us all to be reminded how amazing God is, how amazing Christmas is, how amazing Jesus is. And this morning we are going to use the help of Luke, who was writing this letter for his probably financial backer, Theophilus. We are going to read and think about, well, we've already read it, we're going to think about some of the things that Luke told Theophilus. We're going to look at three things that remind us that God is amazing. We're going to think about the census, the feeding trough, and we've got a visual aid for that. And then finally, the shepherds. Few things reveal the bigness of God like the census. In fiction, there are many superheroes, aren't there? There are some who can fly. There are some who are really strong. There are some that are great warriors. We love them because they are above and beyond us. They are brilliant. They are big. And we love them for it, but it's all fiction. Now, let me tell you about my God and hopefully your God. It all started with a prophet. The prophet was called Micah, and he prophesied that the coming Christ would be born in this small town of Bethlehem. The next thing that happens is God sends an angel to speak to Mary. And Mary is told that she is going to give birth to the Christ. Now, the problem is she lives 70 miles away from, that's as the crow flies. She wasn't a crow. She had to walk, which probably took about 90 miles. She was 90 miles away from Bethlehem. Now, what did Mary do when she heard that she was going to give birth to the Christ? Did she think, Micah told me that this is going to happen in Bethlehem, so I better get my walking shoes on? No, this has never happened to her before. It's not every day. It's once in mankind's whole existence that someone brings a savior of the world into being, although he was already in existence. No, she had no clue that she was supposed to be in Bethlehem. Now, this prophecy, the religious experts knew it. We know that because when the Magi turn up to Jerusalem, they are told by King Herod's experts to go and search in Bethlehem because that's where the Christ would be born. So we have Mary, 70 miles away. The next thing God does is sends an angel to Joseph. Now, this is significant because Joseph came from Bethlehem. And Joseph is told to marry Mary. Everything's going to be fine. It's not some scandal. Mary truly is going to give birth to the Son of God. So Joseph marries Mary, but there is still a problem. They are still 70, 90 miles away. So what does God do next? Get this. God puts it into the heart of the most powerful man on the planet to call a census. That census would mean the whole Roman world has to move. Everyone would have to go to their place of birth, their hometown. Joseph, therefore, has to travel that 70, 90 by foot miles all the way to Bethlehem. Do you realize how amazing our God is? He puts it into the heart of Caesar to cut, he's the most powerful man on the planet at that time, to call a census moving the entire world so two nobodies, it's interesting how Luke keeps focusing on nobodies, so two nobodies would move 70 miles so a prophecy hundreds of years ago would be fulfilled. How amazing is our God? He is a big, big God. Now, what does this mean? Well, the writer of Proverbs explains to us this truth about God. The writer of Proverbs says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases." How big is your view of God this morning? I can guarantee it is not big enough. Whatever your view of God, he is bigger. God moved the entire Roman world to see his purpose fulfilled. What is his purpose today? His purpose is to bring us who are in Christ into the likeness and conformity of his Son. And God can move the whole earth to make that a reality in your life. Be amazed that in every situation, if you're a Christian, God is working to achieve his purpose, to make you more like his Son. So be amazed at God because of the census. But then be amazed because of the feeding trough. Be amazed at this. Verse 7. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What do mythical gods look like? Let's take Hercules for an example. He was a Roman hero and a god. He was borrowed from Greek mythology. The mythical god Zeus was his father. He had a mortal mother. So Hercules, in effect, is half god, only half a god. And he serves to illustrate our point really well. Because if you know anything about Hercules, he is famous for his strength and far-reaching adventures. So do you see? The gods of our imagination, the gods that we invent, are noble, are strong. There are great stories told about them. They are rich. They are popular. They are powerful. They don't lie in mangers. They don't lie in feeding troughs. Manger's almost too sanitized, isn't it? Feeding troughs, where the animals feed. We've already heard at the very beginning of this service, God became a man. The divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The babyhood of the Son of God was a reality, and the more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as the truth of the incarnation. This is what the truly powerful one does. The all-powerful one, this is what he looks like, this is what he did. When there is a new mother, now I've experienced this, what happens to the laundry pile? Do you know? It goes from being about this high to being about this high. So the slightest bit of sick gets on a baby grow, and it's like there's alarms going off. You know, the visitor, the healthcare visitor might call in. I might be seen as the worst mum ever. Quick, we need to get it in the washing machine. And who knows, we might get visitors and they'll think I don't care for my baby because there's a little bit of sick on it. And, you know, the washing is never, never ending. Why? Because babies are valuable. They're precious. Mums and dads love them. Mums and dads want to show love and affection. It's a precious, vulnerable child. But God chose to lie his Son in a feeding trough for animals. Be amazed at your God this morning. But it didn't end there. Because if you want to know where the true God ended up, if you want to know where the God of the Bible, what he looks like, mythical gods have statues showing their strength. How do we remember Jesus? Do you remember what he said? Do this in remembrance of me. Do you know what he said before then? Remember the time I was walking on the waves? No. Remember the times I called Lazarus, come forth, and I raised the dead? No. When did Jesus say, remember me? Remember my death. Remember what I did on the cross. Remember how the Romans nailed me there. Remember the thorns that pierced my brow. Remember the back that was ripped open. Remember how I bore the sin of the world. If you want to be amazed at God, look at the manger, but then also look at the cross. Jesus was born so he could be vulnerable, so he could be weak, and so he could die. And what's amazing is he simply did not deserve that. He did that for you and me, for our sin. He is so full of love and so full of humility that he's willing to give up his splendor, to taste what he doesn't deserve. Disgrace, pain, suffering, sin, and death for us. What a God. We need to be amazed because of the census. We also need to be amazed because of the manger, because of the feeding trough. But then finally, be amazed at God also because of the shepherds. We all know, don't we, that shepherds in those days were not exactly the most reliable of characters. They were a little bit shady. For the Jewish nation, everything was black and it was white. For Jewish shepherds, everything was a bit grayer. They had a reputation for taking things that didn't belong to them. Their testimony was not accepted in a court, in a trial, because they were counted as unreliable, as liars. They were social outsiders. They were looked down upon. And yet, be amazed at our God. Just think about this. Zechariah gets a visit from an angel in the temple. Mary gets a visit of an angel. Joseph gets a visit of an angel in his dream. How does God do that? That's amazing, isn't it? How amazing is our God sending an angel into someone's dream that he knew was so real that he acted on it? That's amazing. But now think about the shepherds. How many angels did they get? Did they get one? No, they got a whole heavenly host. It's a Sunday school teacher's nightmare. How do we make 5 kids become a heavenly host beyond number? What's the point I'm trying to make? That God sent messengers to undesirable people. What, to crush them? No, not at all. Verse 10, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace in the highest and on earth. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. If the angel had spoken to a religious Jew, a devout priest, and said, I bring you good news for all people, what would people say? Yeah, everyone like him. But God comes to the shepherds of all people and says, this news is for everyone, people like you. That really means all people. It means me. And it means you. And the message is incredible, isn't it? Peace to men, wait for it, on whom his favor rests. God's favor is resting on the shepherds. They were social outsiders, and yet they are the first ones to hear the good news. So this morning as we close, let's put all this together. Our amazing God moves in the heart of Caesar, the most powerful man on the planet. He moves in his heart to call a census to fulfill some prophecy from years ago. Two nobodies are then moved to Bethlehem. Then God is willing to lie in a feeding trough, to humble himself. Why? Because he is coming to the rescue of people like the shepherds. Morally suspect people, needy people, broken people, bad people. Are you amazed this morning? When you look at Jesus, what do you see? Just the other morning, I was reading through the book of John, and I came to this verse. Jesus was telling people why he came into the world. So Jesus, as a man, is reflecting on the reason why he came, why he was born, and what he was going to do. He said this, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." What did Jesus mean? Jesus' point was, those who think they are good enough will stumble and fall. But those who acknowledge that they are blind to spiritual things, like the shepherds, when they acknowledge that, will receive their sight, meaning they will become of God's king, part of God's kingdom eternally. And so I ask you as I close this morning, look at the baby in the manger. Look at God on a cross. Do you see that was for you? Do you see that you needed that rescue? Do you recognize your need? Can you associate with the shepherds? And do you recognize how amazing he is to come to our rescue? If you do, then worship him. Praise him. Give him all your affections. Admit you've been going the wrong way, your own way, and turn to him. Or this Christmas time, are you going to be more content with the gifts? The ones that break, the ones that are overhyped. Is that what matters to you? If so, Christ came into this world for judgment. If you reject him, you will be rejected by him. Not just now, but for all eternity. He came into this world to bring joy because on this earth, God's favor rests. Make the most of that. Embrace that. Not just today, but every moment of your life. Let's bow our heads and pray before we sing our final song. Father, we're amazed at you. We're amazed that you could speak into the heart of the most powerful man on the planet and cause two people who were in the wrong place to be moved. We are then amazed at you that you chose to lie in a feeding trough. And we are amazed that you did this for undeserving people. Please, please break through our proud hearts, our hearts that say, I'm okay, I can manage, I don't need help from anybody. Break through those hard hearts, Father, humble us, and help us to realize that we need you for our very next breath and our eternal salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.